Wolves have made remarkable progress toward recovery over the past two decades, but they're not there yet, says a coalition of 11 conservation groups. And last week, this coalition vowed to fight a recent decision to remove the gray wolf from the list of endangered species in federal court and filed the required 60-day notice within hours of the delisting rule's publication in the Federal Register. Under the proposed rule, the states will assume legal management authority of wolves in the Northern Rockies on March 28th. In Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, there are 1,500 wolves with 107 breeding pairs. Those numbers are not adequate to ensure the health of the species, the coalition said. We're going to find out why in a minute. One of the groups, one of the 11 conservation groups in this coalition is Defenders of Wildlife. And we're joined on the phone right now by Mike Leahy. He's the Rocky Mountain Region Director for Defenders of Wildlife. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. So I'd like to start out by talking about the fact that these wolves actually were being reintroduced to these areas, were starting to come back, and now they want to open them up for the slaughter, basically. What's going on with that?
It's the classic snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Wolves have really done remarkably well in the Northern Rockies because it's perfect habitat for them and they have a tremendous amount of prey. But there's a lot of people in this region and elsewhere that haven't come to accept wolves as part of the Western landscape once again. And a lot of people would like to go back to the old days when there were no wolves and they were all killed off. The last wolf in this region, last known wolf, was killed in 1926. So there's a lot of time without any wolves, and there's a lot of people that would still like to eliminate wolves or reduce them to as few as possible.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute, why people are so eager to eliminate them. But first of all, why spend a bunch of government money and federal money bringing them back and then wiping them out again? It doesn't make a lot of sense, even if you're just talking about spending government funds.
It certainly doesn't make any fiscal sense. So, yes, there was a lot of federal resources and state resources put into reintroducing wolves and recovering them, and now there's over 1,500 in the region, and the federal government wants to hand management back over to the states, and the states have expressed intentions to kill wolves down possibly as few as 300. So there's really no fiscal logic to it.
So is this just a Democrat-Republican thing? The Democrats were in office and we had fairly reasonable decisions on the environment, and then the Bush administration's in here and they're making really bad decisions? What is it? Why was this decision made?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that the states recognize that the best opportunity to get a plan that allows them to reduce wolf populations by a lot is under the Bush administration. I think that they're rushing forward with delisting in the hopes that they can get it finalized before the Bush administration leaves office, because if there's a Democratic administration next, they probably that administration would hopefully be more friendly towards wolves and wildlife.
So what is the underlying issue here? Is it a classic? Is it kind of what's going on with the wild buffalo in Yellowstone that are being slaughtered in the hundreds right now by the National Park Service? Is it a similar thing where the cattle industry has a certain interest and they're going after the wolves because they view them as possible predators of livestock? What's behind it?
That is a major driving factor. There is no doubt that wolves do occasionally prey on livestock. However, it's a small fraction of livestock deaths overall. I believe it's under 1% in this region. But a lot of ranchers continue to view wolves solely as predators, and some hunters look at them as competitors. On the other hand, an increasing number of ranchers are learning to live with wolves and accepting that they're here for the long term, and they're taking steps to manage their cattle and sheep and livestock in ways that aren't as open to wolf predation. And we've supported them in those efforts. Defenders of Wildlife has a proactive fund, and we do things like buy fencing and pay for guard dogs and help pay for ranchers to go out and ride the range with their cattle so that they can keep wolves away. We also compensate ranchers, and some of the states do this as well, at market value for any livestock that are killed by wolves. So there's a lot of support for ranchers that are willing to tolerate wolves and attempt to live with them. So there is a lot of interest in the conservation community in working with ranchers. We're not the only group that does this. Other groups do it as well, and reaching out to ranchers. The problem is there's a lot of ranchers that still aren't receptive to working with us, and they still kind of hold out hope that wolves will just go away, or that under this delisting rule, the states will be able to kill them back to just a few hundred in the region, and they'll become a negligible issue.
Hmm. So you say currently there's 1,500 wolves in this area. We're talking about the Northern Rockies.
In the U.S., the Northern Rockies is one of the main population areas. The other is the Great Lakes, where they have a few thousand wolves and a lot more people and a lot less land, and they have managed to find ways of living with wolves and interacting with wolves.
Mm-hmm.
But the Northern Rockies population is Idaho and Wyoming, mostly northwestern Wyoming, and Montana, mostly western Montana, as well as parts of Oregon, Washington, and Utah.
And
one of our concerns is that if you allow wolves to be killed back too far, then they won't have an opportunity to repopulate other parts of their historic range in Oregon and Washington and Utah and elsewhere.
So there's 1,500 gray wolves in this Northern Rockies area, and you're saying that that is not enough. What would be a sustainable population of wolves there in that area?
Scientists haven't clearly identified a sustainable population. It's possibly a couple thousand, possibly a little more. We're still waiting for some of the science on that. But our biggest concern is that we have just a little over 1,500 wolves right now. In a short while, if this delisting plan goes through, we might be looking at 300 to 450 wolves.
What is the point of the legal action, and what exactly is going to go on in court? You know, what are you hoping to gain from that?
We're hoping to have the plan to remove wolves from the endangered species list overturned. There's the legal action is a little bit complicated, but at its most basic level, the Endangered Species Act requires recovered populations, so we don't think this population is recovered yet. And you also can't take endangered species off the list and turn them over to state management plans that are going to cut them down to levels where they might have to go right back on the endangered species list. So we don't think the state plans are adequate regulatory mechanisms. That's one of the terms in the Endangered Species Act for managing and maintaining a viable population of wolves in the region over the long term. And part of it gets back to the role of states. So states are historic wildlife managers, and the federal government, as a general rule, steps in when species become endangered or threatened. But the states are supposed to be wildlife stewards. They're not supposed to be wildlife killers. So we don't believe the states are ready to step up to their role as managers of wolves as opposed to just killers of wolves.
How are these wolves going to be killed? Is the government going to go out and make a deliberate effort to eradicate them? Or are they just going to simply open it up to hunters? How is this going to happen?
There will be a wide range of methods. So all of the states are looking at and discussing hunting plans. So hunters could go out and shoot wolves. They will also do targeted and less targeted killing through shooting, aerial gunning, where they can go in even into wilderness areas with planes and helicopters and shoot wolves. And in Wyoming, for example, in almost 90% of the state, wolves are going to be treated as predators, and they could be shot on sight for no reason whatsoever.
So about 80 or 90% of these wolves could be wiped out in a short period of time, and we could be left with just a few hundred in the area.
That's our biggest concern, mm-hmm. Yes. The states have the authority to do that under these rules, the state plans and the federal rule for removing wolves from the endangered species list. Some of the states, Montana lead among them, are saying they're not going to take full advantage of that authority. Other states have, up until very recently, said they want to kill as many wolves as possible and cut them down as low as possible. They've started to change their rhetoric in recent months, but they haven't changed the actual numbers, or they haven't changed their plans or made any commitments to maintain more than a bare minimum kind of token population of wolves.
This isn't the only area that wolves are coming under attack, right? There's aerial gunning of wolves in Alaska right now. The Defenders of Wildlife is working on that issue, as well as trying to bring wolves back to the southwest area. And there's also some red wolves in the east, right?
That's correct.
Eastern United States. So how does this issue in the Northern Rockies, and again, speaking with Mike Leahy, Defenders of Wildlife Rocky Mountain Region Director, about the gray wolf recently being removed from the endangered species list and opening that population up to possible 80% reduction in their numbers. How does this gray wolf, the gray wolves in this region, tie in, if at all, to the overall pictures with the wolves in other areas in Alaska and other areas?
Well, it's a hugely important population. So there's, within the lower 48, the most wolf habitat in the Northern Rockies, the biggest landscapes, large national forests, national parks, wilderness areas. There's a lot of prey base, a huge prey base with elk, white-tailed deer, mule deer, moose, bison. It's perfect habitat for them. Wolves play a really important role in the ecosystem. So in addition to thinking that wolves belong out in the landscape, they are really important for a lot of other species. And they have effects that trickle down. So when wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone, they started moving elk out of the stream beds. The elk had become very sedentary. They were eating all the willows. Once they had to move out of the stream bed so they could see wolves coming a little more, trees came back, birds came back into those riverbed areas, beavers have started to move back. Wolf kills provide a lot of food and sustenance for everything from ravens to grizzly bears. So there's an issue of the wolf population, and then there's the issue of the important role wolves play in the ecosystem as well.
And is that the primary reason that you feel people should be interested and concerned about this issue?
It is, I would say, one of the primary reasons. Another is just that wolves are a spectacular animal, and they're absolutely incredible, and we think they belong out there, and particularly in the West. You know, there's an increasing number of people that value the West for its outdoors and its amenities, and we think that a lot of people don't want a sterilized, tame West without any wolves or wildlife, that they want a West that looks back at you and stares you in the eye, and wolves are part of that, and an important part. So I think there's a wide range of reasons people like wolves and should want them on the landscape.
If people are concerned about this issue and they wanted to take action, what would be the best thing they could do? Can they contribute to the legal actions? I'm sure that's going to require a large amount of funding. What are some of the things people can do if they or want to take action?
We have a legal action fund for our wolf legal work, and we're always happy to accept donations for that on our website, www.defenders.org. Other groups in our coalition are also working on wolves, and people can also express their frustration to the governors of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming and ask them to improve their state plans and not kill so many wolves. For example, Wyoming and Montana know that people are coming to the park to watch wolves, and that if they, you know, kill too many wolves, then they're not going to have as much of an interest in visiting some of these areas, contacting the Bush administration and asking them to change course on this. All of those would be helpful actions.
So, again, with the legal action, what would be the best outcome, the best possible outcome of that? Could you actually put a stop to the killing if you prevailed in the courts?
We could. I think that eventually states will take over management of wolves. So the best possible outcome from our perspective would be that we overturn this recent plan by the Bush administration to remove wolves from the endangered species list until such time as the states improve their plans and commit to maintaining a viable population of wolves in the region, including connectivity between the wolf populations so they're not isolated. And at that point, when wolves are ready to when states are ready to manage wolves like other species, and not just kill them down to the lowest number possible, then we would be comfortable with state management.
And what are some of the other actions that Defenders of Wildlife, that your organization is taking, aside from the legal action? You're educating the public. Is there any other strategies that you're using?
We're trying to build tolerance and support for wolves around the country, but particularly in the region, and we do that through our outreach to ranchers in part, and working with them to learn to live with wolves and tolerate wolves and maybe even accept and respect wolves. We are reaching out to hunters and encouraging their support for wolves, reaching out to businesses, you know, talking with them about the economic value that wolves have brought to the region. A recent study shows that wolf tourism brings about $35 million to the communities around Yellowstone National Park. So we have kind of a broad-based outreach component in addition to our legal strategy.
So, and your website again is defenders.org for Defenders of Wildlife. And people can find information about how to contribute to the legal action that your organization and 10 others are bringing.
That's right.
Also, probably find out ways they can contact officials and do various other actions, right?
Absolutely. It's right on our front webpage.
Okay. Is there any just kind of final comments you want to make today before we wrap up?
I would just encourage people to take a look into this issue and other issues like the killing of Yellowstone bison. There's a lot of really not very modern wildlife management going on in this region, and I would encourage people to look into it and get informed and speak out, write letters to the editor, and contact decision makers.
It's pretty discouraging, actually. It's pretty overwhelming when you take it all in. Is there any kind of, you know, words you could offer to encourage people to take action? Because I know some people just get paralyzed from it all and just decide to do nothing because, you know, they feel so overwhelmed by the amount of just all this stuff going on.
Tenor of people towards wolves in the region is changing, and I don't mean to overstate the case and suggest that everybody in the region doesn't like wolves. There's a lot of support for wolves in the region as well and a lot of acceptance. And so the people in this region that are working on behalf of wolves can definitely use the support, and it can be discouraging, but wolves have already made a remarkable step towards recovery by coming back towards 1,550, and you know, we're concerned about the possibility of them getting killed down to 300 to 450, but they haven't been killed off yet, and there's still a lot of time for people to express concern over that. I would just say we could use the help and support still.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mike, for joining me today and talking about this important issue, and I'll put the website out again and let people know how they can find you on the Internet.
Well, thank you, and I very much appreciate the time. Again, the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
All right. Take care, Mike.
Best of luck.
Thanks again. Bye. So, website again for Defenders of Wildlife is defenders.org. If you go there, you can check out all the information about this recent Bush administration decision. Again, this was a controversial decision to remove the Northern Rockies gray wolf from the list of species protected under the Endangered Species Act. This delisting is going to take effect 30 days after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service published the final rule. That was last week. And again, there is a group of 11 conservation organizations bringing legal action. Last week, this coalition vowed to fight the decision to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list in federal court, and they filed the required 60-day notice within hours of the delisting rules publication in the Federal Register. They're trying to fight this in the courts. As you heard Mike say, they also need people to contact the governors of Montana and Idaho and Wyoming. It's Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. The governors of those states and ask them to change their state plans and not kill so many wolves. Again, the website to read more is defenders.org. And right there on their homepage, there's information about Defenders of Wildlife leading the effort to reintroduce wolves to the Yellowstone Park and Central Idaho region, and how they're continuing their fight through advocacy, research, education, outreach, and in the courts, and what you can do to stand with them. Also, there's information right there on the homepage about aerial hunting of wolves in Alaska and how you can help them put a stop to that. So check it out, defenders.org.